dentist. Know that we've been loyal way back from the beginning. The trusted source for the news. 7th Night for Hallis, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis. Know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. 7th Night for Hallis in your ears, you. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis. Know that we've been loyal.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition, the first edition of 7th Night and Hallis of the 2024 NFL season. There's no more camp, no more OTAs, no more rookie camp, none of that other bullshit. We ain't got to talk about, oh, we looked good on 7-on-7 today. No, that shit is over. The real shit starts this Sunday, man. So we're here. This is the 10th season of this illustrious podcast, 7th Night and Hallis, the podcast that started this network, man. So, of course, while y'all edit, y'all can give me a follow. Follow me on @BarbChairScott, all social media platforms. Follow my brother Flows at Flows Andolini on all social media platforms, and follow 7th Night and Hallis at 7th Night and Hallis, man. And of course, if you want to, you know, of course, we do these live streams, but after the stream goes off, it goes up and it goes straight to the Patreon for our Patreon subscribers. You can subscribe right here, of course, patreon.com/barbershop network. If you're watching this on YouTube, you can take your phone to the screen, scan it. It'll take you right to this. If you're on your phone, something else that you can't scan it, the link is in the description box right now, man. Of course, this will be available during the live stream. It's available to everybody. Then it goes straight to the Patreon for the first day. Then the next day it'll be available on all feeds. So if you want it right away, of course, you can subscribe to the Patreon. There's three different tiers. The I'm Not Gonna Hold You tier, which is $5. 7th Night and Hallis tier, which is $5. Summer Sessions tier, which is $5. But if you want everything that comes with it, get the $10 Barber's Chair All Access tier, and you get something special with that. If you sign up for that, you get 25% off on your first order at the bcnetshop.com. Only one-time use, so you can't use the code consistently if you already use it for the first time. Go over there, get all your 7th Night and Hallis merchandise on there, man. Shout out to everybody who did order in the first week. The first batch of orders are going out this week. Some have already gone out already, man, so we appreciate you. Appreciate y'all for tuning in and joining us, man. Well, get my brother Flo, what's going on? I know you're exhausted, long day of work. We're going to power through this. Shout out to everybody who's watching on Instagram as well. What's going on?
Hey, man, I'm tired, but I'm still down to talk some Bears. You know, get into the first week. I know a lot of people are excited. I see a lot of Bears fans on Twitter being mad that the Bears are not getting, like, illustrious coverage and people kissing the hands and feet of Caleb. But it's part of the game.
It wouldn't be Bears season without Bears fans being mad about something.
It's part of the game, man. The Bears have not earned the right to be looked upon favorably by anybody in the NFL. It's not. You know, it's like when you look at the Packers. The Packers get viewed favorably every time. They're always going to get that love. And to their credit, they typically make a solid team that wins 10 games and they probably lose in the second round. But at least they get there consistently. Enough so that people can and should have some sort of bias toward them. The Bears don't do that. The Bears make the playoffs every 8 years, every 10 years.
Yeah, around that.
And then lose. And then they completely cradle and completely crumble as a team afterwards. And then they have to go through another rebuild again. So why should the Bears be looked upon favorably? They haven't done anything to earn it. And so right now, I think Bears fans have to be, I'm gonna take the blinders off more as much as you can. And then be realistic. What have the Bears done to earn lavish talk about themselves? Nothing.
Which is actually kind of shocking me, because everything I've seen nationally has actually kind of been favorable. Like, which is actually shocking to me. I don't know how much more people wanted the ass to be kissed, but maybe I'm asking a lot from Bears fans. I was going back and forth with a couple Bears fans yesterday. Not even a couple. Shout out our guy JB, who does the Barbershop Network of marketing and promotions. He was talking about he didn't like Hard Knocks because it was boring. I said, I enjoyed Hard Knocks, especially the last episode, uh, final 4 minutes was incredible. You really just saw what kind of a nice guy. Like fuck the fact that he's a great general manager. He's Ryan Poles is the A1 dude. Like seeing him in that room crying with Adrian Colbert right before he got cut. Like you can see just how much, you know what I'm saying, that he thinks about the people in this situation. I think that kind of stuff is going to pay off to see future free agents, see just how good of a guy he was. But what I was saying was, this is what Hard Knocks has been since, you know, social media era, since teams start doing their own content. It hasn't been the usual thing. And I'm actually shocked that the Bears showed the cuts, because they don't make teams show cuts anymore. That's the Hard Knocks is not maintained. A lot of teams do not show cuts anymore. The Jets didn't show cuts last year. So I was shocked that the Bears did that this year, which was cool. I know a lot of fans were mad about the cussing. I'm like, look, the Bears, you know, it wasn't that much profanity to cuss out. Even the director of Hard Knocks said out of all the teams she covered, the Bears have the least foul mouths out of everybody. But I just felt like, of course, there was a lot of expectations. I think a lot of expectations of people who don't usually watch Hard Knocks. I'm a football junkie. I watch Hard Knocks every fucking year. It's been like this for the last, I say, 10 years, bro. Like last year, they showed Aaron Rodgers going to watch fucking Hamilton on Broadway with Solomon Thomas. Like, that's not, you know, super entertaining. This isn't like, I feel like, well, Hard Knocks was great at the beginning because we didn't have social media. We didn't see anything that went behind closed doors of any of these teams. That's what made some of the iconic ones the best. My favorite one is still the first one, the 2000 Ravens one, with you know, Shannon Sharpe. I need my restitution, and Tony Siragusa, you know, pulling pranks on people. That to me was the best. But I think for a team that don't show a lot, I thought that this was really entertaining for me, and especially somebody who's there. Shout out to Matt, 3 cameos in 5 episodes. Shout out to me. My last one was my most visible cameo. I had 3 cameos in here, man. But that's just kind of what it's been. Shout out to everybody in the chat. Said that guy, 44 Bears fan, still pessimistic. Shane O'Mac. I keep telling people Hard Knocks been like this. I don't know why everybody's shocked. Hard Knocks, he said, what up, man? What's going on? So, yeah, man, let's just get right to it.
I'm going to talk about Hard Knocks briefly.
Go ahead. My bad.
It's boring, but I have not kept up with Hard Knocks with other teams, so I can't speak to what it's been like. But if this is what it is, yeah, it's boring. But it kind of becomes unnecessary when teams do their own thing. The benefit of a Hard Knocks is that, if allowed, they can show sides of teams that you would normally see, you'd never see from teams' own media people. Problem is that the Bears are such a close-knit, secretive organization that you're never going to see what you want to see. And for me, having spent how many seasons have I been doing this? 5, 4,
this
something
is
like
your,
that?
This is your fifth, I think.
Fifth season. 2020, last season of Nagy. Yeah. No, last season of Mitch. The season
you
with
started
Nagy.
In the COVID year.
Right. So it's a season of last season with Mitch. Two seasons of a season of Justin Fields under Nagy.
No, yeah.
Two
exactly.
Seasons of flu. So it's my fifth year.
Yeah.
It's my fifth year covering a team. And so I've seen enough behind the scenes, never anything like a coach's office or a GM's office, nothing like that. But I've seen enough of the team that I go, whatever, it's cool. You know, I'm not going to make a blanket generalization on Poles or anything. He seems like he's solid. That's cool. You know, I'm glad that he empathizes with what it's like to be cut from a team, because he knows what the experience is like. And I know that it helps, because it sucks. It sucks when you don't get to achieve what you want to achieve, whether that be in football or any other position. And to have someone who at least says, it sucks, you didn't get the job done, but it sucks, and I want you to know I understand, it means the world. And so that was cool. But overall, it was a 6 out of 10, 5 out of 10, whatever. It's not really good. It's cool. You know what I'm saying? I would love to hear more, you know, like some people have a problem with platforms and players getting to speak, but I would love to hear more from that. Like when I watch Micah Parsons and C.J. Stroud in the offseason talk about, you know, just life, football, how good they were on the field. That's more intriguing than watching Hard Knocks. So it was
so
cool.
more player podcast basically.
Yeah, people hate that players have all these platforms, but people keep watching them, and they're going to keep coming. And so at least while we're here, I want to see something good, and I have seen a lot of good from these platforms that let you know that players have a voice. Players have a live that are some that are intriguing, have perspectives that are intriguing, and it just makes the connection between the audience and the players a lot more closer. So, That's my take on it.
Yeah, I agree. We're all entitled to our opinions. I'm not mad at anybody's opinions. I just felt like me with I'm always an expectations guy. Like, what was your expectations going into it? And I just felt like if you watched the previous ones, this is kind of what you was gonna get, man. But overall, I personally enjoyed it. I think it was fun. I hope everybody did enjoy it because it's never gonna happen again. No. The Bears have been very vocal about not wanting to have done this period, man. So let's move on to our first topic. Of course, this is the first of our Wednesday shows. Our Wednesday shows basically preview episodes. We'll give our picks ahead of time. I'll give you the pulse of what happened at Hallis Hall from my days being up there. But the season's finally here. This has been, I feel like it's been, the offseason has been long at sometimes, but it's been short at sometimes. Like, I feel like that almost 4 month process to the actual draft was the longest shit ever. Like, you're in the middle of the Bears Twitter civil war. Like, you still have people like, oh, we want to keep Justin. You know, some people's like, oh, we want to go Caleb. And, you know, what they're going to do in free agency. That shit was just forever. I feel like once Caleb got actually drafted and you got Roma Dunze, I feel like it actually kind of flew by. But then we get back to camp, and that was the longest 6 weeks of my fucking life. Like, I think that, you know, obviously it's a blessing to cover it and be able to actually be there and do that. So I'm not going to sit up here and be like, you know, rich people problems, but it was fun. But camp for the players and for the media drags after like the first week, after the first 10 days, it really, really drags. But, you know, being an everyday thing, but now we're finally here and I'm excited. No more talking about practices. No more talking about how they looked. No more talking about preseason reps. It's time for the actual games to matter. And for the first time, I'm trying to find a word to describe my feeling going into the season. I don't want to say cautiously optimistic, but I kind of feel like that's the closest term to describe what I'm feeling. Like, I'm excited about the future of this team. I'm excited about the ceiling of this team. I'm also very aware of the floor of this team. I'm very aware of the weaknesses on this squad. I'm very aware that Caleb, as much as we expected from him, is a rookie. But I do feel like I had the same feeling that I've had before seasons that the Bears actually make the playoffs. Like 2018, I kind of had this feeling. 2010, I kind of had this feeling. 2011, I had that feeling too, but then Jay got hurt after being 8-1. But that was a good team until he actually got hurt. 2006, I had this feeling before, you know, after the playoff game, even though they lost to Carolina. The difference between those feelings is it's not, oh, well, only the quarterback don't fuck it up. I think that's the only difference for me. So I'm excited, but I'm also very aware that it's going to be a process. There's going to be games where Caleb looks amazing. There's going to be games where Caleb looks like a rookie. And I'm prepared for the up and downs. I know you're prepared for the up and downs. I wonder if the fan base is ready for it. Or like Orlando says, I'm getting 2015.
You think I'm going to listen to Cub fans and their their delusional happiness. And, oh, look what's happening now. Turn into the Cubs. No, I'm not going to listen to you all.
Well, go ahead. What are you feeling heading into this game?
Nothing. I know it's probably not the sexy answer, but I feel nothing. I don't feel excitement. I don't feel disdain. I don't know what I feel at all. But if I had to put a pulse on it, it would be nothing. Because I come at this from a perspective of someone who was a fan my entire life and then someone who has been in media for 5 years and who has seen what it's like to walk that line between being happy and enthusiastic and passionate versus being delayed, neutral, mute about it. And now I just feel, let's see. That's my attitude. And so to backtrack a little bit, now that I've had a chance to think about it in my head, it's neutral. I have a neutrality about the season and about what's about to happen. And that's kind of the best way to say it. I think Caleb is a capable quarterback, and I'm assuming he'll be a good player. You know, I don't have the lofty aspirations. He'll be MVP. He'll be a candidate. He'll be a primetime contender. The person who's going to challenge Pat Mahomes. Nothing crazy like that. But I think he'll be a good quarterback. And I don't think it didn't take a lot of convincing for me. I noticed intangibles right away in his presence in the pocket, the way he gets the ball out, his movement, his feet, footwork, how he does before, you know, in a three-step versus a five-step versus a quick out, a hitch, an arrow, all these sorts of things. I said, oh, yeah, I'm fine. He's gonna be solid. And that's all I really needed to see. I never felt that way about a Bears quarterback. Justin Fields, I had the, man, if he develops, this can be that. Mr. Trubisky, I had, let's see. And probably not since I was a kid did I have that delusional, oh, man, this is going to be the guy type of feeling that I had with Craig Krenzel, Ohio State alum, when he won like two games or three games or something crazy like that. So I'm sort of neutral. I'm 33 years old. I've seen enough with the Bears. It's just time to win. Go win some games. And that's really nothing more that I can really feel about that. It's just time to win some games.
Speaking of time to win some games, we're talking about rebuild. I had this topic, not really a topic, but I tweeted on the 79th and Hallis page a couple days ago, and I said, Bears fans, don't let you know, media, other fans, other franchises, fellow Bears fans tell you not to have expectations for this team. The time is now to have expectations. The rebuild is over. It's now time to win. Joe just said that. Ryan Pohl said that on a final episode of Hard Knocks like last night. And a lot of people in the mentions agree with me. And they said, yes, the rebuild is over. And I had some people who didn't agree with me. And we had a spirited conversation. I call it spirit. I didn't cuss nobody out. I ain't call nobody at their name, which I usually do. I didn't do it this time. But I just feel a rebuild being over doesn't mean that you're done adding to the team. A rebuild being over doesn't mean that this team is ready to win a championship. To me, a rebuild is over when this team is ready to compete. The process in the NBA with the Sixers, that rebuild was over when they were ready to make the playoffs. Give another NBA example. The Oklahoma City Thunder. The Oklahoma City Thunder rebuild ended last year. At the top of last year, everybody had that team projected to be in the playoffs. Now, most people did not have the Thunder finishing number one overall in the Western Conference. Nobody had that happening, but their rebuild was over at that point. That doesn't mean that, you know, that nobody thought they were going to win a championship, but that's what a rebuild means to me when you're officially ready to compete and when there's actual expectations. There's expectations for this team. Everybody said, oh, this team should have won 10 games. And I don't even like the phrase should have, because we should have, could have did a lot of shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? I should have been rich if I was born into a rich family. Like, you know, you can use that with anything. There's no ifs in sports. Did they have an opportunity to be 10-7? Yeah, 100%. The three games they lost was NFL history. Statistically, they had more than 95% chance of winning those games, and they lost all three of those games. So yes, there was a chance for them to be 10-7. So you take that off a roster, you have a mass improvement at the quarterback position. You've got a much better wide receiver room. You've got a better, I mean, the defense is a year better. So to me, that's where the expectations come from. That's what I meant by the rebuild was over. And I felt some people either didn't understand what I meant by that, or either some people are too scared to put expectations on this team because they're fans. They don't want to be let down. They want to keep saying it's a rebuild. Joe, do you think the rebuild is over? Like, do you have the same definition as me for a rebuild?
See, that's one of the biggest issues with arguments online. Everybody starts with a different presupposition on what something is, what something entails, and how we go from there. So it's really more semantics than anything. I think a rebuild ends once you reach a level of contention, or once the pieces are in place. And I think if the pieces are in place, you reach a level of contention. The rebuild started with Ryan Poles coming into the building. What was that, 2 years ago? 3 years ago.
Yeah, it was almost 3 years ago. It was January 2022.
So almost 3 years ago. So you start over at so many positions, almost every single one. You get a new linebacker core. You get new defensive linemen. You keep a few. You keep a defensive back or so, but then you on off.
Here's a stat: the 49 of the 53 players on this roster are Ryan Poles guys now. So it's pretty much.
So been, if I'm yeah. if I'm thinking about it, the biggest questions left on that team are: what are we going to do with that interior offensive line, namely Is Coleman Shelton the answer? Is Nate Davis going to be healthy? Is he the answer? Outside of that, you got Darnell Wright, which you're pretty solid in. Tevin Jenkins, you know he's a good lineman. You got PFF Braxton Jones, which they fell in love with. And so you seem solidified. You got three great receivers, a good running back crew, and you picked up the rookie quarterback. And I look at the defensive side of the ball. You're probably more solid than you are on the offensive line. The linebacking core is solid. It's T.J. Edwards, it's Tremaine Edmonds, and then Jack Sanborn coming in when it's not a nickel or a dime package. You got your defensive backfield, which is amongst the best, in my opinion. So you're pretty solid. And so if I'm looking at that, I would say the rebuild's over. I mean, what more do you go from there? Unless you're thinking the team to be 100% set, I can't give you a response to that. I think it literally becomes when you have revamped in almost every major position. You have the signal caller that you want. And some skill positions, and then signal callers on the defensive end, and then also the coaches that you want. So overhaul of the coaches. This isn't the same offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator. Yeah. So what more makes it a rebuild? I think when you hold on to that rebuild label, it gives you a little bit of an excuse when things go bad.
100%.
Like, oh man, you know, we're in a rebuild, so it's like, oh, he's a rookie. Now he's a rookie is a good excuse for anybody. Like if Jaden,
I wouldn't call it an excuse. It's a fact. You know, it's even. I don't even think you can use the excuse. It's just a fact.
People use it as an excuse as something bad, but yeah, I just think
that's true.
An excuse for the literal definition of no. This excuses this. This right here, this event, this thing, this person, this place excuses this. P is going to excuse Q. Simple as that. And so, or P plus Q equals C. Like this sort of equation lets you know this is excused. Because if Jaden Daniels goes out and throws five picks, the logical response is to say, "Woo, that's rough." He's still a rookie, though.
Right.
Because if you don't do that and you start to assume there'll be this or that, I think you laugh in the face of history. And we can take someone like Peyton Manning, who threw a lot of freaking interceptions his rookie year, as to why you need to be cautious with giving a player one designation or the other.
Yeah, I think that's you put it in the best way possible of how I feel like it. It's okay to have expectations, people. I think a lot of Bears fans, and by the way, rightfully so. Shout out Tiff. She's the general manager of Barbershop. She said it's kind of like a dude who always cheats on his girl, but like this girl meets this one dude and he starts to open up the door for him and like do nice shit, and like Bears fans like hesitant, like I don't know. That's what I kind of feel like. That's why I felt. In the tailgate at the preseason game, I'll be at the tailgate again this Sunday. Maybe hopefully the vibe's a little different. I get why Bears fans are scared, but hey man, it's that time. And this I know that some fans are kind of scared. Oh, well, if he just has a 2018 Mitchell Trubisky season, no nigga, no. Think bigger. Aim better. Want better for yourself. It's fine to have these expectations. Caleb has been talked about as this godsend QB prospect since his last couple years of high school. It's okay to have expectations for him. You know, he had a better college career than CJ Stroud. He has a better situation than CJ Stroud. I don't think asking for CJ Stroud like numbers is a lot to ask. I think that he can do it with better weapons and he has better tools than him. So that's why I say that I believe everything that the rebuild is over. But let's go on to this segment. I'm going to call Sounds of Hallis. Eventually, I will have some actual audio for you. We got to get that tape recorder so I can put up there on the podium so I can get like some quotes to play for y'all. But today I was up at Hallis, first official day of the season. You know, where they put the week one preparations. It's all about the Texans today. It was a pack, not pack, but the usual suspects of the media up there today. We spoke to Matt Eberflus. We spoke to Caleb Williams. We spoke to Keenan Allen. And then we went to open locker room and Jaquan Brisker spoke. And also Roma Dunze spoke as well. And to me, this is like a very focused team right now. I think the injury report came out today. Very, very light report. You know, everybody practiced. There was a lot of limited. But that's, you know, first day of the thing. They did pass today. Flew said today was going to be a very physical practice. They're going to come out with it. I don't know what happened to practice because we're back to the regular season and we can't actually watch practice. We only get to watch them warm up during the regular season. So I don't know what the fuck happened. But one thing that Jalen Johnson said yesterday, I wasn't there yesterday, but he said that he's tired of hearing about how we look on paper. He's tired of hearing about expectations. He said, look, we felt the same way last year. We got knocked in the mouth week one. We got knocked out that whole month. They started off 1-3 in the first month of the season. He said, we got to go out there and do it. It doesn't mean anything until we go out there and do it. And you kind of heard the same thing for Cole Kmet. And that's just really what I thought was awesome to hear, because it's the same thing you've been saying, Joe. It's put up a shutout time now. Like, you guys got to go out there and get it done. The rest of the NFL is probably going to think you're the same old Bears until you prove that you're not the same old Bears. The captains got announced yesterday. There are 8 captains. The captains are Tremaine Edmonds, TJ Edwards, DJ Moore, Kevin Byard, Mercedes Lewis, Jalen Johnson, Cole Kmet, and Caleb Williams has become the first rookie quarterback to be named a starter. To be named a captain. And that was dope to see. These were all voted by his peers, which was seeing somebody asked me on Twitter, do you think that this is actually real or think they just forced it on? I'm like, first of all, like, that's a crazy question. I'm like, you can't fool the locker room. Like, you can't fool the players. They voted for Caleb. You know what I'm saying? And that's not they, rookies, even though it's great, as highly touted as Caleb is, he's still a rookie. So in that locker room, he does not have rank. So they're not just going to throw that C on his chest if he doesn't actually do that. So I thought that was really pretty dope to see that. He said today he was extremely honored to be named a captain. He said usually you don't see rookies be named captain, especially in such a talented and vet-like locker room. And, you know, Caleb is very media trained, but he feels like he's very focused. He says he's excited about it. He's going to take a moment to soak it all in when he gets from there. But he said that as soon as that feet touch the grass, it's business as usual, was the quote that he used. And he also kind of said about, you know, there's going to be things that we got to adjust to. And he said the communication has been a big fit that. So it feels like Caleb was ready. Flew said the same thing. Flew said he didn't come out, start out the right way. And he said he's excited about the game plan that Shane Waldron has. Keenan Allen said that he has never been around a quarterback who was this ready right away as rookie. And that includes Justin Herbert. You know, he's with Justin Herbert. And when Justin Herbert set the rookie touching pass down record for 31 touchdowns, and he said the difference between Justin Herbert and Caleb was that Caleb's always been the guy going back in high school. He said people forget Justin Herbert was the second. Was the second string quarterback that year. It was Tyrod Taylor, but Tyrod Taylor got hurt in the first half of that game, and he just said he's ready, and it's going to be weird for him to be playing his first game not as a member of the Chargers organization, but he's just ready for it as well. Roma Dunze. He was up there, really, you know, he was excited. He had a big scrum by his locker room. I had to, you know, put a little elbows around, like, you actually getting here, what the fuck he was saying. He said, yeah, boy, be up there talking about LeBron. Yes, yes. Caleb is very media trained, very LeBron-like. You're not going to catch him slipping. But he kind of said the same thing. He's excited but ready to go at the same time. And Jaquan said, like, look, Jaquan really echoed the statements of Jalen. He said, look, we was excited last year. He said, last year, we was hyped for that opener, and it didn't go the way we wanted. He said, we need to go out there, set the tone, and give us a win to start off on the right foot. And he said, to give the city a win, a first win as well. So just the overall feeling up at Hallis today was, I feel this is a very prepared team compared to past years. And, of course, that doesn't matter until you actually see the fucking games. But I felt like – I really, really liked what I felt up at Hallis Hall today. And I really feel like this team has the right mindset. They're the healthiest they've been in a while. Same thing Flew said last year. The injury report for week one looked crazy. And we always forget Kyler Gordon missed the first month, which was a big, big thing with there. And I think it's going to be a different feel. Any thoughts on what I'm saying about how winning Hollis before we go to the actual game?
I appreciate the feeling that, you know what, we have a good team on paper, though that doesn't really mean anything. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't mean enough. Yes, you have a good team on paper, but what is that going to do? What are you going to do on the field? And this isn't the first time I've said the Bears have had a good team on paper. 2018 was a good team. I mean, you had, I thought, one of the most solid receiver rooms in the NFL. For me, and I know this is sacrilegious to talk about the Packers, but that the Packers wide receiver room reminds me of the 2018 Bears receiver room. Not really any bona fide stars, but a lot of solid players. Like
guys who can make plays.
You know what I mean? Just solid. The issue is that, one, I don't think any of them are as good as Allen Robinson was that year. I thought Allen Robinson had a really good couple years with the Bears. But at the same time, those guys can all know what they need to do. And you had a very, very good defense that year in 2018. And it was reasonable to say, this is a good team.
Khalil Mack was a game wrecker that year.
One of the greatest defensive seasons I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And then you add on top the next year, it's like, if they beat the Eagles, they can do some damage. Which I still hold to, if they would have got past the Eagles, they would have done some damage. Super Bowl winners, I ain't saying all that.
I think they could have made the NFC Championship game, probably lost to New Orleans.
Right. And so when I look back at that, I think this isn't the first time I've seen the Bears had a good team. What I'm more concerned with is how are you going to handle adversity, which is the thing I liked about Eberflus' team last year. They went through a hell of a lot of adversity, and they responded well and really finished strong. And that really always sets you up for the next year. I was walking past the high school near my house. I forgot it's a STEM school, Sarah B. Good High School. Walking past it, Sarah B. Good are the Knights. They're playing the Crusaders, which I don't know what school that is. I thought I heard freaking Manly or something. But this school near me, they just beat the shit out of this team 53-0. I said, my God. And that coach, I can see it in his eyes, the stress of trying to teach them students that, man, you're going to go through adversity. We're not some prep school in the middle of the suburbs, Lincoln Way East, at least Lincoln Way East was cold when I was playing, that has a setup for success. You got to fight for it. And so the Bears are in that position where you have to fight for it. And when adversity comes, what are you going to do? How are you going to respond to that? And that is why I really appreciate, I'm just a media person, I'm just a watcher, but I appreciate and I'm glad. And I think it should put some confidence in Bears fans that even Bears players are like, that don't mean nothing. We got to see what we can actually do with what we have.
Definitely. Let's get into the game breakdown, man. So week one, Bears are taking on the Tennessee Titans. The Tennessee Titans did not have the best season last year. They finished last in the AFC South last year. They have a 4 year of Will Levis. This year, they got DeAndre Hopkins is back. They went out there and they paid Calvin Ridley. They spent money on Legarius Sneed in a nice signing trade with the Kansas City Chiefs. Sneed was a big part of that Chiefs defense to help them win the championship last year. And they've got two first year. Well, they've got a whole new coaching staff in Perry, man. They've got the new offensive coordinator, Nick Holtz. He is a first-time offensive coordinator. This will be his first game ever calling plays. Same thing on the other side. Denard Wilson, he is a first-time defensive coordinator. He was a defensive back coach with the Ravens the last couple of years. And, of course, the head coach is Brian Callahan. He was the defensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens last year. So they got an entirely new coaching staff, which could be something the Bears could use to their advantage. Caleb said that when you're going up against a team that has a new defensive coordinator, he said you have nothing old film to really look at to pick up on tendencies. And that's why he feels adjustments are going to be a big part of this Sunday's game plan. And the same thing for the offense as well, where the defense can probably take advantage of that. To me, the biggest thing for me is I'm not really worried about the offense, like, at all. The defense, to me, is why I think this could be at least a tough start to the game for the Bears. I think the defensive line is stout. I think the secondary is decent. And one of the questions asked Keenan Allen there, they said the defensive coordinator for the Titans said that the best way for them is to press the Bears wide receiver. And Keenan kind of looked like he was disrespected. He was like, yeah, I guess. And basically like, all right, nigga, let's try that. Let's see how that works. For me, I think if they come out swinging out the gate, I think this is going to be something you need to put that offense in a bad predicament. Make that offense put up points, because I think you got to take the sails out of the wind of the defense already. They've already been talking, saying, oh, I want to play the quarterback with the painted nails. They've already been talking, and they want to get off to a good start as well. What do you think about the Titans in general as a first-week opponent for the Bears?
Titans are not a good team. We don't have to beat around the bush. Though I'm still intrigued with Will Levis. I don't think Will Levis was ever too good of a college quarterback. He's not. He's bad. He's solid. He's had the first 2 years at Penn State and then Kentucky. I don't think he was even ever a 3,000-yard passer at Kentucky. I can't think of anything of note about that team. But at the same time, that doesn't really mean that he can't be a good NFL quarterback, because we have seen situations where players have come into NFL, and even though they were sort of mid, they ended up becoming better quarterbacks. And so when I look at him, the reason he intrigues me so much is that he's a prototypical quarterback. I mean, the kid's like 6'4", 230-something, maybe 220, and has all of the arm strength that you can want, but you just wonder, what is he going to do? You know what I mean? And I had to look it up. Josh Allen's best year is 3,000 yards, 28 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. It sort of mirrors 2,800 yards, 24 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. Will Levis, their junior year. This was sophomore year for Josh Allen, junior year for Will Levis. Like, those were okay quarterback. It looks what Josh Allen has become, a much better pro than he was a college player. So I'm intrigued by him. If he's good, the team becomes a lot better than they were last year. They were 6-11 last year.
Yeah.
They can become an 8-win team, a 9-win team, if he's good. I don't believe in their receiver room like that, but it's okay. It's solid.
Yeah, if this was 5 years ago, DeAndre Hopkins, they'd be cooking with
him. Oh, absolutely. That'd be cooking with Grease. It'd be good. You have, what you call it, my man's coming in.
Cavarelli
coming to the second streamer. That's fantastic. But knowing what I know about them, I go, yeah.
And no King Henry this year.
You know what I mean? No, he's gone.
Yeah.
And that puts pressure on Will Levis to perform. But I think that's a stretch. And so I don't think this is a good team. And I think the Bears are much better on paper. And they should win this game by 2 scores. Now, that being said, this is the first game of the season. Weird things happen. So it could be a position where the Bills could find themselves – I mean, Bills. The Titans could find themselves down 3 scores. The Bears could find themselves down 2 or 3 scores just because things get weird.
Yeah.
Players go on streaks. You don't really know what you're looking
at. The first month of the season is glorified preseason.
Right? You know what I'm saying? So I'm not going to put too much stock into it. None of these wins are must-win to me. It's just – let's just see what you're doing. But yeah, I don't put much stock into the Titans. They're not a good team.
Now we're going to close the podcast up with prediction time. Prediction time. We're going to see what we feel like is going to happen this year. I said on the I'm Not Going to Hold You Bears preview special, which is available on the Patreon right now. It's been on the Patreon for a week. If you want early access, if not, it will be on HMB Media TV and the Barbershop Network YouTubes tomorrow at 11 a.m. Central Time. I said, now granted, I've been drinking tequila for about the whole time we were shooting. I said 12-6 for this team. I just want to change that a little bit. I think that's their ceiling. I'm going 10-7. I'm going 10-7 for this team. I feel that that's the realistic way for them to go. It wouldn't shock me if they were 9-8 either. I think that I can accept 9-8 depending on how that 9-8 happened. You know what I'm saying? I need some context to that 9-8. But for this particular game, I think the first 2.5 quarters are going to be some weird football. I think it's going to be weird. I don't think the offense is going to look lights out. I think the defense is going to come out swinging. I think the defense is going to have Will Levis and them boys in hell. I think this is going to be – I think they're only going to get in the end zone one time. I do think that I think Caleb's going to have 2 touchdowns passing. I think that DeAndre Swift is going to run one in. And I think that they're going to get a late interception of Will Levis at the end of the game. I'm going Bears 24, Titans 7. And they're going to want to know to start the season. What do you have them going?
I'm going to go Bears 31, Titans 14 or 17. I can see the first half being probably – a 14-14 affair, and I see the Bears pulling away. I see the defense adapting to Will Levis and the wide receiver room that he has there. I think it'll be a second for Caleb to get into the groove. I can see the first 2 touchdowns being running touchdowns, rushing touchdowns, having that rushing attack pull off some good runs, DeAndre Swift, Khalil Herbert. I can see them pulling off some solid runs that get them in position, that set things up. And as the wheels of the running backs move, I think then – Caleb goes. And so I would give it 28 or 31 in that range to 14 to 17. And I think that's a really fair summation of the Bears team. And I think this is still a good game for them to get in a nice group. You know, it's not a must win. Yes. Obviously, not as the first game of the season. But you win this, you set yourself up for some good feelings in the locker room. And morale will always be important. That's why momentum is real. I'll never forgive Bomani Jones for saying it wasn't real. But momentum is real because it's all about the morale and the emotion of the team. When you win, you believe in yourself more than you have before. It's just a simple calculus. And so when that happens, and if they do get this win, I think it sets themselves up. It gives your rookie quarterback a good feeling going into it. But, yeah, I'm going to stick with that 31. I might pull that back for a 30, you know, especially if Cairo Santos gets the groove where he has to score a little bit more. Looking forward to Torrey Taylor pinning them to corners of the ends, corners of their opposite field on their own turf. But, yeah, 31-30, 31 or 30 in the range for the Bears, 14-17 for the Titans.
I think you hit the nail on the head about, yeah, it's no such thing as a must-win week one of a 17-game season. But I do think you said morale is a big thing. I want to go into that to next week in Houston, which is going to be – I can't wait to go. It's going to be a fun time. That's going to be a fucking home game. I know Houston's making it a whiteout.
Sleep. That's all I know.
It's going to be a whiteout. They're trying to white out Bears fans. Yeah, good fucking luck, all right? I know 15 people myself who's going to Houston, and that's just me. I know 15 people going. And that's not including the Chicago people who live in Houston.
Right.
That is finna be a Bears home game. I want to go into that game with some house money. That's what I want to go. I don't want to go in there and it's like, oh, no team has ever made the playoffs at the start 0-2. I don't want to hear that stat from who's Sunday Night Football? From Mike Tirico and Chris Collinsworth. I don't want to hear that stat. Go on there, take care of your business against the Titans, and then see if you can go out there and upset the team who is that's the bandwagon team. Everybody named Mama on the Texans this year. That's the bandwagon team. If you can go out there and smack some fire out of them, start the year 2-0, I think that'd be a nice little boost. So I think that
Bears is definitely a feeling with the Texans that they're starting something big.
Yeah.
And I won't lie to you. I see CJ, of course, I watched him all his years at Ohio State. I had a love-hate relationship with him there.
Yeah, I know.
I saw him do so much. But I saw him, I feel like he sometimes was holding himself back, or Ryan Day was holding him back. And now he comes into this rookie season where he just looks like a veteran from the first snap. It's like, wow, he's reading that well. What the hell? And now they got a full year of tape on you.
Yeah.
They have a full year of tape on you. Mr. Trubisky was a Pro Bowl alternate. He had a solid year. That full year of tape came out. Never recovered from it. People knew who he was. And so CJ has to do that same thing. But there's momentum riding with them right now. And a win there, it's big. It's a very big win. But it's only big if you win Sunday.
Yeah.
Only big if you beat the Titans.
In the words of the greatest rapper of all time, Sean Corey Carter, finish your breakfast. Take care of what you got to take care of this Sunday, man. So me and Flo's will be there. We're going to be doing our post-game video for y'all. As soon as we get done post game, we're gonna head right back and we're gonna knock out the episode. The Sunday episodes will be a couple hours after the game. We're gonna knock that out for y'all, get that done before Sunday Night Football starts, man. So y'all know what it's check that out. So y'all know to follow me on all social media platforms at Barbershop Scott. You can follow Flows at Flows and Alini on all social media platforms. Follow 79th and Hallis at 79th and Hallis. Follow the Barbershop Network at Barbershop Net, all social media platforms. Subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/Barbershop Network. If you're looking at the screen and you got your phone in your hand, you can scan that code and it'll take you right to the Patreon link. If you are not able to scan, then the link is in the description box. We have three different tiers. We have the $5 Summer Sessions tier, which is just new Summer Sessions episodes. Just uploaded a new one today. Check that out. There's the $5 I'm Not Gonna Hold You tier, which is my show, I'm Not Gonna Hold You, which drops every Monday and Fridays on HB Media TV and Barbershop Network. And then you have the $5 79th and Hallis tier. You can get this episode and others before it hits the live stream, before it hits the live feeds. Get that. And if you subscribe, you will get first-time subscribers and also current subscribers who haven't used their code yet. You get a 25% off code to use on your first order for the Barbershop Net shop. That's bcnetshop.com. Go get all of your 79th and Hallis merch. Get all your Barbershop merch. I'm Not Gonna Hold You merch. That's available now. Shout out to everybody who put in orders during our first week. Those orders, a couple have already been sent out. The rest are going to be sent out over the next couple of days. So we appreciate y'all. I'm tired. Flo's is tired. We finna get up out of here. Y'all enjoy the rest of y'all evening. Enjoy that first football game tomorrow. Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson should be a fun one. And, of course, then you got the first ever Brazil game on Friday. Friday night football between our hated Packers and the Philadelphia Eagles. Go, Eagles, go. Start the Packers off 0-1. We up out of here.